Tahina Lodge, and that's where Adina talked about. But you see, we can lots of time we can talk about it here, right? But it's not until we actually apply it to the heart that it changes your life. And today I wanted to preach about parenting, actually. And the title is Daughters and Sons of God. Did I forget to drag it down there? It should be there somewhere. It comes out of Colossians 3:20. It says, "Children, obey your parents in everything." Okay, let's read it together. "Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged." And the next one, it comes out similar. It's out of Ephesians. It says, "Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with a discipline and instruction and that comes from the Lord." Amen. So you may say, so what does this have to do with sons and daughters? Well, there is a scripture that puts this together for us. And it comes out of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, Hebrews 12. It says, "And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, 'My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child,'" or in some translations, "son. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by his father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are an illegitimate and are not really his child or son or daughter at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever?" So there it is, my friends. Somehow discipline and sonship and daughtership is connected. How many knows that there's a difference between punishment and discipline? Punishment is frequently, thanks. I got a frog in my throat. Punishment is, how many's ever lost it or your kids? How many does, man, you just had it? Okay, I have. I'll be the first to admit I lost it. And what did you do? You whack. Well, I got my wife to know. But you lost it, right? And punishment works. It does. It will frequently change something, but it's not long lasting. And my friends, it often would create fear. Your child has fear. I had fear of my father, and not in a healthy way. In fact, the wrong kind of punishment can lead you to close your heart towards your parents. And see, discipline is different. Discipline is actually molding and changing the child to become a disciple of God, to become a son or a daughter. And how do you do it? Well, the Ephesians says you do it with instructions. So, the reason that discipline is needed is because it sets some sort of boundaries around the child. And I remember many instances, but I remember a few with my son. You see, God teaches us that there's consequences, right? What you sow is what you reap. And as parents, we want to draw a protective barrier around our kids. And within that barrier, there is safety and security. How many know that's true? But we don't want to crush the child. We don't want to exasperate the child. We want to help them grow up. And when I look at Jesus, he took his disciples as a father takes his children, or a mother takes his children. And one of the first things he does, so that these disciples will become actually sons and daughters of God. Number one thing he does, he makes them feel that they belong. You see, if you have an orphan spirit, and let me just explain that because Adina brought it up. You can have your parents. Like last night, we had a whole bunch of orphans kids here. And they did not have their parents. Their parents had died or something happened to them. But you can have parents and still have an orphan spirit. You see, the moment you turn your hearts against your parents is the moment when you get an orphan spirit. And you become living as if you have no parents. And you live isolated. You live in fear. You live trying to prove yourself. And lots of times you live in bitterness and anger. But a son, on the other hand, lives in security, knowing that he is loved, not because of what he can do, but because of who he is in his parents, or who he is in God the Father. So Jesus, he actually, many, many times, makes the disciples feel that you belong. Now here's a scripture that is not Jesus saying it, but that in Romans chapter 8. Remember, it's actually, he says, you know, you're being given a spirit, not a fear to slavery. You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received the God spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. You have been given a spirit that makes you belong to God. The Holy Spirit has come for you to belong. Jesus, in his own words, says, he says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? But seek his kingdom of God first. He's saying that I'm going to take care of you. You're mine. Seek the kingdom of God first, and all these needs will be met. He's saying in John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. John 14:1, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. John 14:16, he says, and I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives and will and with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you, he goes on to say. And I just want to say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You belong to him. That's the number one. He wants you to know that you belong to him. You're his. You are his own. Just like your children, you know, that's yours. That's number one. But number two is when a parent disciplines a child. If you're going to have sons and daughters, you know, see, I look at Rebecca and Richard, and they just had a brand new child, right? A little boy. I mean, little girl. I'm a man. A beautiful little girl. And they love him. I mean, they love her. unconditionally. I think there's no doubt that Rebecca and Richard will lay down their life for that little girl. She's beautiful. She's loving. But the day, my friend, comes sometime around the two-year-olds, when their will and her will is going to crash. That little girl is going to say, I am going to do it my way. You know, my little grandson, he has a mop face. He has his whole bottom lips falls down on the ground, and he has practiced it because I had never seen anybody put on a face like that when he doesn't get his way. And then mom or dad is going to look at this little girl and say, you little tweak, do you not know that for the last 2 years we have changed your diapers? We've done all this. Now listen to me. You're going to do what I say. And that little girl is going to look and it's going to say, you parents are created to serve me and do what I call you to do. And you're ready to spank that little girl. That's when discipline comes. But discipline isn't punishment. It is done in love, creating a protective barrier so that the child will know what's right and wrong. So the child knows. But the choices they have matters. And this is what I've seen in parents. I've seen parents getting frustrated. And then they threaten the child. They say to the child, if you don't do what I tell you to do, if you don't go to bed at 9 o'clock, you're not going to watch TV for the rest of the week. How many of you have ever seen that? You know, I'm going to take the iPad away from you. You know, whatever. And guess what? They don't do it. They don't actually do it. The moment the child hears that, how many knows that when you set boundaries around your children, they will always push. They're going to go right to the fence and they're going to see if you're real. And my friends, what happens is when you don't, do you know what the child does? Your words don't count. Your words don't count. And when they get away with it often enough, they don't listen to you anymore. And your voice begins to go louder and louder. I don't really care because your words have no meaning. And then they dishonor you. They despise you. You actually created an orphan spirit of the child because they begin to despise you for not fulfilling the word. And here's another word, my friends. It's just, I want to say this. A child, I believe, has given a conscience. They actually have some idea what's right and wrong, built inside of them. You know, I see little Caleb going to the keyboard on a computer. And he looks, he knows very well this is forbidden. But he's going to see if he can get away with it. And if he's not disciplined, if he does not being told this is wrong, this is what I believe happens in the child. They know they deserve to be disciplined. And they actually self-destruct. They beat themselves up. They actually hurt themselves. When they grow up to 16, 17, they actually live hurting, destroying themselves, feeling that they are continuously guilty. But when you spank a child, or when you say no to the child, or discipline them, or give them consequences with a loving heart, they understand that there is choices to be made. And it's not about whether I'm loved or not. But when there is never consequences and when there's never values, the child actually beats himself up to self-destroy. So the boundaries is for the protection of the child, so that they understand that choices matter. And what I found, and I saw it with Jill, she would always make choices. She, you know, I don't eat the broccoli. Okay, fine. You don't get dessert. It's your choice. And she smiles. She doesn't get mad. She has no confrontation. I remember when I had confrontation at a meal times. So they give her this face, disapproval. But she sticks with it. Here is the dessert. Here's the broccoli. You need to eat some broccoli before you get the dessert. And they try to crawl underneath the table. I want no broccoli, but I want the dessert. Fine. But they learn that mom sticks with it. And so finally, with a sour face, they eat the broccoli. Because all they want is that dessert. One day, my son came home. And he was 12, I think. And he's sitting out there smiling because he's not sure what's coming. But I think if I tell this story, he will remember clearly. I want to say this. He came home one day and he had lied. I don't even remember what he lied about. Maybe Janet does. But he had lied, and so I said, Paul, here's consequences. I was going to discipline him as I thought I had learned. Paul, here's a choice. You either don't go to hockey tonight, or I give you a slap with the belt on your hand. He loves hockey. He says, slap me. I gave him a slap on his hand. And I told him, Paul, I'm doing this because you need to learn not to lie. When I was a kid, I don't know if I shared this on Mother's Day, my mom had made a jar full of cookies. I was 6 years old. She made a jar full of fresh cookies, just like Carla makes cookies. And I smelled them, and I saw the cupboard. I knew what the key was to the cupboard. I opened the cupboard. I sneaked cookies, and it was more than one. By the time my mom came, she realized this jar was half empty. And she went to my father. They were still married. And he said, did you steal a cookie? And I said, no. But I don't know how he knew, but he knew. Because there was nobody else in the house. And he gave me a spanking, and he sent me to my room for the rest of the day. And this was in the morning. I'm 6 years old. But you know what he said to me? He said, I don't give you the spanking or the punishment because you took the cookie, but because you lied. Because you lied. And I was six. I still remember it. It was a lesson I learned that helped me many times since when I was confronted. Did you do it? You know, I learned it pays to say the truth. Because of that 6-year-old experience. So, my friends, raising a child to become a son. I'm just praying whether I should go with this. I'm just about done here. But I just want to say this. I want to say what Adina said. I said all these things, but actually the most important thing is this. That when you discipline a child, you teach them how to take responsibility for their own actions. I have been a principal of a school. And mommy would come in and say, you know, Johnny is such a good guy. And really, he didn't deserve that. It wasn't his fault. And that child grew up to be very unhealthy. Because he never, ever was faced with the consequences of his action. Mom always thought, no, little Johnny can never do anything wrong. He became an orphan spirited child. Nobody wanted to hire him. How many have read the Old Testament and seen there's all kinds of bad marriage, bad parenting? They're not all good. How many knows that God also disciplines us? It's not nice when he does, but he does. He does it because we are our sons and daughters. David. How many heard of David? David disobeyed. He lay with somebody else's wife. He got that husband killed. He was confronted. And when he was confronted, he had a choice to make. Either to walk away like an orphan or to be a son. But David said in Psalm 51, forgive me, I have sinned against you. I'll hurt you. Create me a clean heart, give me a steadfast spirit. David repented. Repentance, taking responsibility for your action, is the key to being a son and a daughter. And as that is one of the reasons for discipline. The prodigal son. The father is a good father. But the son is rebellious. He's a brat. He goes and asks for the inheritance. And he takes it. And he goes and he spends it on all his own life. Drinks it up. Then comes to his senses and realizes I've sinned against my father. I'll be better off at home as a servant. He goes to see his father. His father comes running towards you. And God the Father comes running towards you when you take a responsibility for your own actions. Why is it important to honor your father and mother? Sometimes parents can be actually bad parents. Sometimes they can even hurt the children. So why should I? Because when you close your heart to your father and mother, you live like an orphan. But the moment you take responsibility, as Ardina did, she phoned her dad and said, Dad, I've hurt you. Her dad did not know how to love, did not know how to embrace him. But she took responsibility. And the moment she took over responsibility, says, I have hurt you. The Spirit of God brought healing and restoration. That's why God gives us principles like honoring your father and mother, because he knows that if you close your heart to your parents, you will have a hardened heart and you will have an orphan heart. But the moment you're not responsible for what they may have done to you. They may have done terrible things to you. And some parents have had done horrible, evil things. You're not responsible for that. But you are responsible for what you have done towards them. When my parents divorced, I was mad at my dad. I want to hurt him. And I hurt him. But when I became a Christian and I read this and I realized God wanted me to honor him, my father, I did what Ardina did. And it broke something in my heart and in his. Brought healing. The last thing I want to say, I'm going to ask the worship team to come. You see, if you have an orphan spirit, you always blame somebody else. Adam and Eve closed their hearts to God. And Adam blamed Eve and Eve blamed Satan. The difference between them and Dave is he took responsibility. As son takes responsibility. A daughter of God takes responsibility. An orphan will always blame somebody else. Will always be a victim of somebody else. Amen. So, the Lord has given you a spirit. Not a fear to slavery. But it's a spirit of adoption. It's a spirit of sonship. His spirit is what's going to allow you to walk as sons and daughters of God. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you.